All right, Marty Lurie here on KMBR, joined by Cameron Lowe. And Cameron, stories of spring training are always a lot of fun, and you've been around the big leagues, and I think the fans are going to hear a lot of you this spring trying to win a spot on this staff. So nice to have you, and how's spring training going for you?
It's going good so far. Definitely enjoying my time over here, and it's a great group of guys. The feeling around the clubhouse is awesome. You know, everybody's having a good time, but getting their work done, and you know, it's just an honor to be over here.
Now, the first thing when anyone sees you, they say, wow, this is a big guy. So tell us a little bit physically about you, and what kind of pitcher are you?
Physically, it took me a long time to grow into my big frame. I was about 6'7", 180 coming out of high school. So, and I'm about 260 now, so take about 80 pounds off of me. You know, work hard, just work on a lot of balance drills and stuff like that, you know, putting all the long limbs together, and you know, trying to put it all together right now during spring.
Did you play other sports as a young man growing up? You grew up in Southern California, the Simi Valley area. I imagine basketball or football must have been in your background.
No football. I played basketball, played soccer. You know, kind of did a little bit of everything. I played flag football, but I don't even count that. But once I got to high school, I knew that I wanted to play baseball. I played first base and pitched, and you know, I had a couple buddies on the basketball team, and they'd come to practice with a rolled ankle or something, and I just didn't want to deal with it, and just knew I wanted to play ball. And so the high school baseball team or the basketball team hated me because I was the tallest kid in school since, like, you know, my sophomore year, and so they had some choice words for me. But I just knew I wanted to play baseball.
How did you know you could be a professional? When did that sort of get in your mind? Hey, you know something, I may be able to make a career out of this.
I think it was towards the end of my sophomore year, beginning of my junior year. I started to put on a little bit of weight, and I shot up from about 6 foot to about 6'5", and just started throwing a little bit harder, and had heard from scouts that, hey, you know, this kid might have what it takes to, you know, to go pro. And so I really kind of, you know, I always loved the game, loved going out and playing, and just had fun with it. And I think when I started hearing that, I really started taking it seriously, and you know, working out with weights and trying to put weight on and throw harder and hone my skills.
Cameron Lowe joins us, and again, trying to make this ball club in spring training. Big guy, about 6'7", and it's a lot of fun to see you on the hill. I always look at the hitters, and they look out at you, and it looks like you're handing the ball to the catcher.
Yeah, like I said, it's tough sometimes to put all the limbs together. It was a big obstacle for me growing up, you know, putting all 6'8" of my frame together, and it definitely got its advantages when it all goes right.
All right, now you look at the back of your baseball card. You've traveled a little bit, and you've been with different teams. Always a reliever, a starter. How did you become a relief pitcher?
I always started going through high school and college, and coming up through the minor leagues. And then when I broke in with the Rangers, I was mostly a reliever my rookie year, and then got a few starts at the end of the year. And then started in 06 and 07 with the Rangers, and ran into some injuries, and just, you know, my back couldn't carry 7, 8, 9 innings anymore. And so I had to go to the bullpen. And over the last few years, I've, you know, just worked a ton on my lower back and my mechanics, and because I've really wanted to get back to starting. And you know, it's nice they're stretching me out. Obviously, you know, this team has its guys, you know, that are gonna start out, and I'll take a spot anywhere to go get big league hitters out. So you know, it's an honor to be over here, and I'm glad that I'm getting a shot.
Yeah, good story. Another good story of spring training. Cameron Lowe joins us now. In your background, and it was really interesting, I remember interviewing you years ago when you were in the American League, and I guess I have to say, you like the boa constrictors. You had one as a pet, and there's a real nice story about it. And we were just sitting in the clubhouse talking to Willie Mays about it. And, of course, Willie says, snakes? I don't think so. But take us through a little bit of your history growing up, and it's a good story here. And it eventually leads to having a boa constrictor as a pet. So I think the fans will find this interesting.
I always grew up with pets. I mean, rabbits, chickens, dogs, cats, you know, whatever, lizards, snakes. And so I've always just been an animal person. And my brother and I, we were the kids that would run around the hills and you know, catch whatever lizard or snake or critter we could and keep it for a couple weeks. And if it ate, we'd keep it for longer. If it didn't eat, we'd release it. And, you know, just loved animals. And so when I got to college, my girlfriend at the time actually bought me a baby red-tailed boa constrictor, and had her when she was about a foot long, twice the width of a pencil, and held her every day, let everybody else hold her, so she got really used to people. And finally, after about 8 or 9 years, she got to about 8 feet and 35 pounds, and you know, about as big around as a softball, and still just very, very docile, you know, real friendly. And but I had to get rid of her when I went to Japan, because they kind of frown upon bringing large serpents into the country. So yeah, you know, I loved her and I missed her, and I'll probably have another one when I retire.
Why, interesting. Boa constrictor, right? So you start with snakes and lizards and other things and work this way up to a boa constrictor. You ever bring her into the clubhouse? I imagine ball players have to be jumpy about this.
You know, some guys absolutely love it. Other guys wanted to keep a 10-foot radius. But, you know, no matter who it was, that everybody was intrigued. You know, I'd bring her into the clubhouse in a pillowcase. And, you know, when we'd go out for BP or during the game, I'd just put her in my drawer. And she'd just sit there and sleep. But, yeah, it's definitely a good conversation piece. You know, everybody's intrigued by it. And, you know, guys would want to hold her and stuff. And
all right. Look, I grew up in Brooklyn, so you're talking to the wrong guy right now. I'd be the 10-foot away guy.
Yeah.
But Cameron Lowe with us, talking about a little bit about his hobby and also about his major league career. And he's been around. He's a relief pitcher now and has a shot at being in this organization and doing something. And it's nice to see you here. Now, one other thing you told me about the boa constrictor, they're great pets. And I didn't realize why a ball player would like to have a boa constrictor as a pet.
Yeah, they are great pets, especially if you hold them a lot. But the convenient thing about it was when she got big, I only had to give her like one rat every 2 weeks. So they eat rats, and you go to the pet store, get a $5 rat, throw it in her cage, and leave water for her, and you can go on a 10-day road trip and not even think about it. So it was the convenience factor was there.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit of baseball with you right now. And sinker, slider guy, fastball guy, how would you describe your repertoire?
Throw a sinker, a cutter, a changeup, curveball, or a slur ball, you know, whatever you want to call it. And you know, my whole career I've been taught to just pound the zone low and get good ground balls. And you know, trying to this past year I've been kind of going back to the drawing board a little bit and trying to integrate my approach on the hill, and using that, you know, that high fastball to get hitters to swing through and get pop-ups, and not be so predictable down, because you know, in the last couple of years I think hitters have caught on to I'm trying to go after them down in the zone, and to mix one up, you know, about shoulder high, or change the eye level, it's definitely been a weapon for me.
Yeah, you got to throw it past them and fool them. That's the idea. That's the idea about pitching. As we wrap it up with you, as I say, it's nice to have you here. A favorite day in the big leagues for you? A favorite moment in the big leagues that may come to mind for you?
Two of them. One was my first outing. I went it was against Seattle. I went 2 1/3, and the first hit I ever gave up was to Ichiro Suzuki, and it happened to be his number 250th hit the year that it was 2004, the year he broke the record. So that was a cool, you know, I figured, hey, we're all going to give up a hit. Might as well be to the guy who's got the most. And then the other one was with the Brewers in 2011, winning the National League Central and then going on to the championship series. And we got beat by the Cardinals, but that was an amazing year for us.
Yeah, what a heck of a series that was. You know, again, one thing I want to let you tell the fans, pitching in Japan, a lot of people do it. A lot of people go over there. You did it for 1 year. What was it like? What do you remember about that maybe the fans don't know?
Man, there was so many cool things about it. Few things that drove me a little nuts, but I mean, there's so much right about that culture. They're just so the honor and you know, working hard and all that are just really at the core of everything they do. And just good people go out of their way to, you know, to help you. And you know, I loved the food, loved, you know, the countries that I saw, you know, experienced Tokyo, and there was just, Tokyo is crazy. The amount of people that are on top of each other there is just absolutely nuts. So there was a lot that I enjoyed about it. I could not wait to get back to America and play U.S. ball, though. Yeah. Just, you know, I'm a social guy. I love talking with my teammates, and it was tough having to talk through a translator to a lot of my teammates. You know, I learned enough Japanese to get along, you know, to get around, but not being able to talk to my teammates on a regular basis and was kind of tough. But overall, you know, I really enjoyed the experience. The fans were great. It's crazy with all the horns and the drums going off, you know, when you're pitching, and you got to get used to that a little bit.
When you hit a guy.
When you hit a guy, yeah, you're supposed to, you know, tip your hat. And I hit about three or four guys, and I only tipped my hat to one of them because I could tell he was a young kid, and I really hurt him. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's just little differences. Still playing baseball, still playing the game. But I just, you know, I missed the U.S.
Wow. What a good story, Cameron Lowe. How do you think Tanaka will do with the Yankees?
You know, he was dominant over there. From the video that I've seen of him, you know, he's got good stuff. He keeps the ball down. He locates, you know, three or four pitches. You know, I'm sure he'll go through a learning phase, but I'll bet he does well.
Yeah, boy, 24-0. That's all I had to see. That's not bad. I don't care where you are.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I think they only get like 24 or 25 starts over there too. Yeah,
pretty good. Hey, Cameron Lowe, nice to have you on KMBR. A pleasure to have you here, and we'll follow you in spring training and hope that it works out for you.
Pleasure being here. Thank you.
All right, that's Cameron Lowe. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.